Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thanks for tuning in to catch my drift here at WAM Talk 1600. Good to have you aboard. And got lots to cover. Man, if you watched any of these last two conventions here, you've got to have just a belly full of opinions on it. I certainly do. And we'll get to those eventually. Let's take care of a little business here. Our sponsor this half hour will be Wellbridge Rehabilitation of Pinckney. You can reach them at 517-375-5363. And they specialize in post-acute rehabilitation and nursing care. And they are a great bridge to recovery and wellness. So you can go to their website, thewellbridgegroup.com, or call them at 517-375-5363. They're really good folks. And if you got one of these issues where you need a little rehab, whether you had an accident or whether you are just getting older and need a little help, Wellbridge is the place to go. So check it out. They got a great new place in Pinckney, and it's beautiful. You can actually see the ad of the new place in Pinckney in the current July edition of The Current. So give them a check. What we do on the Daily Drift, or The Drift, is go over the news we put on the Daily Drift. And then if you're not going there, make sure you do www.thedailydrift.com and check out the news you need to know. So we're going to start out today. We've got a special guest. We haven't talked to him in a while. 7th District U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. Good to be with you.
It's been a while. We haven't had you on in a while, so it's good to hear your voice.
I don't know why that happened, but always enjoy coming on with you, and of course it's always talking about pertinent issues. So we'll look to try to make sure it doesn't remain so long and far between this next time. So.
Yeah, well, it is an election year, so you know the open door you have here with me is probably a good idea for you to come in. And you know you are welcome, Tim. Even if I'm not planning on it, you can always call in. So glad to have you aboard. Well, did you go to the convention, Tim? Were you there by chance?
No, I wasn't. I watched it every night like a lot of other people, but having a primary race as well as a general race, it was good for me to be back in the district doing my official work as well as campaign work. So it was a full time, and last week I took the opportunity to watch the Democrat convention as well, just to see what the other side was saying, and if you like to hear what movie stars and sports figures think about life and tell you to vote for someone who is way out of in left field as far as what this country needs, then I guess you enjoyed last week. I didn't, but I had to hear what they said.
Right. I did my editorial for the August Current basically on that as well, because you know at the Republican convention, yes, maybe it was a little dark, maybe it's a little foreboding, but you know what? If you are not looking at what is happening in this country and around the world today, and you think it's not dark and foreboding, there's something wrong with you. I mean, the Democrats exactly right. They painted this rosy picture, and yeah, Barack said, "Oh, we got a little work still to do." You got a lot more than a little work to do, Mr. President. It's an outrage what's going on.
Well, absolutely. And I'm not falling into the language of the Democrats of calling the Republican convention dark. It was realistic. We were talking about what's going on, and that's not dark. That's rational. What I heard last week almost, in fact, it did make me say to my wife once, Toto, are we in Kansas yet?
Yes.
An unreal setting next week where they were trying to paint a picture of unreality. Frankly, when the president steps up and says we're respected in the world, no, we aren't. We're respected from the fact that America is looked at as a nation that has been great and needs to be great. I've had foreign leaders say that to me. What's happened to America? We need you to take a stand again. We need you to be who you are. But why are you the way you are now? And so the president doesn't get it when he talks about our economy going strong. Again, we see a economic growth rate yesterday announced of 1.2%. That's so inferior. It just will not cut it for us having global competitiveness. And that's what's continued on for most of this past year, 2% or less growth in our our national economy. And so, you know, I hear all this stuff coming from the convention, but it's not reality. 20 million people more having health care. Well, what about the people that have lost their health care? Significant loss. You're not hearing people standing up and shouting about their delight of being on Obamacare. They're saying, you know, the president lied to us. He said if we liked our insurance, we could keep it. We weren't able to keep it. He said if we liked our health care provider, we could keep him or her. We haven't been able to. We're not in the same network. And so I think we need to talk in realistic terms, and that's not dark. That's dealing with truth and then being able to work on that to make something better.
Yeah, and Tim, bear with me. I want you to hear this track because this hits exactly on what you just said. You and I are on the same wavelength. Derek, do you have track 4 ready down there? And this is about the growth or lack of growth because in all the years that Barack Obama has been president, we've never broken a 3% GDP increase, which is just astounding. So I want you to hear this because this reiterates the fact that the Republicans are being real and the Democrats not. You got that ready? All right, listen to this, Tim.
Okay, second quarter GDP, 1.2%. Estimates were for 2.5%. You also had a revision to the first quarter. Now growth was just 0.8%. The original read was 1.1%. Also looking through some of the other data that we had, in particular, the core PCE, it's the personal consumption expenditure. It's what the Fed really looks at to track inflation. That actually coming in bang in line with estimates at about 1.7% for the second quarter. But just to reiterate here, guys, that second quarter GDP, 1.2%, well below estimates.
Okay, so Tim, and correct me if I'm wrong, too, because I know you follow this pretty closely. It seems like every time they report for every quarter with the and maybe it's the same with other administrations. I wasn't following it as much under the Bushes and Clinton, but it seems like they'll come out with an estimate and they'll say, you know, like this last time, 1.2, and then they're revising it down the following month when nobody's really paying attention. So is this a concerted lie or is this just something that happens all the time?
Well, it's happened regularly through these last 8 years, that's for certain. And to be honest, on a few occasions, they had a revision that moved it up a bit, not much. That's why we still look at less than 3% over the course of the past 3 years, or excuse me, 8 years. And that is not a sustainable growth rate for an economy that will lead the world.
Yeah, because what that means, Tim, is right, if we're not growing more at least 3%, that means we're not creating jobs, right?
Right. That's absolutely correct. And if we're not creating jobs, then what's happening? Well, you know, in certain cases, I've just driven past the three now hiring signs or help wanted signs. So we know that there are jobs there, but sadly we've also put a situation where we've given a perverse incentive for people not to work. And so we'll see some people that will say, I won't take those jobs, or I can actually do good enough by staying on some type of social assistance program or unemployment until there's a job that I want. When in fact, Gary, you and I know as we were growing up in our life, that you took a job, and then if you could get a better job, you moved from that job. But you took a job, and you worked. You didn't expect someone else to take care of you, unless, of course, you were not able to take care of yourself, you weren't able-bodied. And certainly, we have no problem with safety nets. But when we give an incentive to wait to find that perfect job or just accept some type of government assistance program to keep us from having to go to work, that is a real problem.
Yeah, so it's just astounding to me. You and I guess we're too old, Tim. Maybe that's what it is, because our young people today, they feel that sense of entitlement. And I think that's part of our education system, part of our college system, that are making these young kids feel like they're entitled. And I mean, my own son, I'm always yelling at him, get up and do, you want something, get out and work for it, I'll do it for you, you know. But it doesn't seem like that is the rule or the cultural idea that's normal anymore.
Yeah, and again, we have put frameworks in place that's really encouraged the natural laziness at times, and there have been times in my life when I could be extremely lazy, and just like you talking to your son, my dad would talk with me and say, you know, I'm not raising a guy that's going to expect somebody else to take care of him, so get off your duff. If you don't like it, duff, eventually you will learn to appreciate it. And I think our young people are capable of the same thing. We just have to make sure the incentives are there. And sometimes the incentive is the fact that you're not going to have what you want, you're not going to live well, and you're not going to be satisfied unless you do it on your own. And that's where I think our educational system, that's where our families have to come in, and certainly our government ought to make sure we get out of the way of those things being taught and expected. I think that's the good thing we've seen most recently this past year as we passed the Skills Act in Congress and ultimately got the president to sign it. That does give more incentive and opportunity to train our young people in real-world skills not simply tell them that you've got to have a four-year college degree or college education, but in fact you might find your sweet spot by getting a certificate, by getting an associate's degree, by going to an apprenticeship program or a trade school and finding a sweet spot that will start you out at $50,000, $60,000 from day one and give you opportunity with advancements when you take overtime, et cetera, to over $100,000. I met several employee settings last week that's the exact framework that they're working from.
Yeah, it's amazing that they always want to push this college education. Let me assure you, you are dead on the money because you know what? Plumbers make great money, whether they're self-employed or doing union work. Same with carpenters, same with roofers. You can make a living in vocational trades. If going to college, and especially if you're just studying something that doesn't make any sense, if you're getting an engineering degree, that's something you'll be able to make money with. That's something that'll contribute. It's these crazy social degrees that don't seem to make any money and leave kids without a job. So it's amazing that people, and I don't know if we can blame our counselors at the high school level or what, but you don't have to have a college education. I think a lot of people are being pushed into college, and it's just part of the academic infrastructure that's just causing prices to go up in the college thing because there's more people going who probably shouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have an education, and you have to have continuing education, but there are all sorts of approaches, and when we push kids to four-year institutions, it gives almost an automatic full employment for college professionals and college professors, et cetera, when in fact some of these young people would find a much better sweet spot filler by going the trade route. I was at a machine manufacturing plant the other day in Saline that's doing some amazing stuff with molding equipment, blow molding, that type of thing. They're hiring people right out of high school, training them. They'll start out at $50,000 a year. They can move up. Also, if they decide they want to move on and get an engineering degree or a technical degree, the company would actually assist them or provide full payment for that degree and moving forward, and all the while still gaining money from working at the plant. So there are all sorts of opportunities that are there if we're willing to take the time to look. Encourage young people to be responsible, to think what would be something I would enjoy doing, and building something that makes a difference. I think we have plenty of opportunity in this country, but let's get the government out of the way.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you something too, Tim. So you're running for election this year. So you're all over your district here, 7th District in Michigan. What are you getting vibe-wise from the people you're talking to on the street? Do you think Michigan could actually go Republican this year? You're feeling confident about your race. I know that. What's your feeling here in the state of Michigan in your district?
Well, in my district, I never ever let myself feel confident about my race. I was there for one term in 2007 and 8, and I was defeated for re-election in 2008 and sent home for 2 years, and then the people had an opportunity for a do-over and decided to put me back in, and I've been there since. So we try to keep up with the people. I've had 80 live town hall meetings this year, plus 13, 14 teletown halls, and what I'm hearing out there, Gary, are people who are across the board confused, frustrated, worried, angry, bitter, very much concerned about what's going on, about the plight of our country. They don't think that their government has served them well. And on the basis of that, they want to change. And so I think that's the reason why Gary, I'm here in Beatster. Am I still with you?
Yep, you're still here.
Okay, I didn't want to lose you. That's the reason why Mr. Trump surprised almost everybody. I think most everybody I've talked to, including myself, are surprised, number one, that he did so well, number two, that he is the nominee. And yet, it was based upon the fact that people said, we want someone who will speak up, who will say things, maybe not eloquently, maybe not presidential, maybe not with all of the grace that we expect from politicians, but at least will identify with what we're feeling and will say we're going to change things and make things work. And so that's what I'm hearing in my district. And when Mr. Trump told me and a number of others 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago when we met with him, that he was leading in Michigan and was going to win Michigan, I'm not about to debate that with him anymore. I hope he's right. I sense in my district, when I get into the blue-collar areas of my district, which are plenty, and especially when I'm thinking of blue-collar union worker, Teamster, UAW worker, they're not necessarily listening to their leadership. They are listening to what they feel is needed for to make a country great again. And that's why Mr. Trump did so well in my district and in places like Monroe County, Jackson County, because he was speaking to their concerns and the traditional values that they hold, that hold in line with a great America that controls what's going on around it, that makes a difference in the world, that provides a great opportunity for income in the country, and promotes law and order and a defense capability that says, don't mess with us. We're a good country, but we're a strong country. So, no, I think we have a chance, and that's why we have to get our people to the polls. We have to stop fighting and finally decide we can fight after we end this liberal left-wing approach to our governmental systems that's destroying us, and put ourselves back on track again with an opportunity of winning.
Yeah, and I think if anybody watched those two conventions, and I'm hoping a lot of independents do, you're never going to change the heart of a Democrat. They are what they are. But I'm thinking a lot of independents would have been watching the Republican convention and then watching the Democrat. It's still astounding me that they really mentioned nothing about terrorism, nothing about stopping immigration or slowing it down, and nothing about ISIS. It's like it was not even a part of their lexicon there. They just completely ignored it. And I got to think the average American is thinking, well, I'm watching Germany and France fall apart. We've had attacks here. Why aren't they addressing the issue? And yet the Republicans did. Do you think that's really going to have a big impact on the election day this November?
I think it will. I really think it will, because, again, we're being the adults in the room. You don't like to talk about terrorism, but you have to. If you don't, you're whistling past the graveyard, and it's going to end up biting you. We've seen too much terror involvement already on our shores. We know that there are cells. We know that there are radicalized groups and individuals all over this country, and at any moment, a tragic act, event could take place. But for the fact that, thank God, there are people that are spending every day of their life looking for those terrorists. And that's something that American people have to redouble our efforts to understand and accept the fact that we are not going to be the same ever, probably again, in this country. But we can still be free if we're willing to do the right things and stand strongly and call terrorism what it is and not mince words about it. Love people, give people opportunity to enjoy the American dream, but if there is a radicalized Islamist terrorist out there, he needs to know, or she needs to know, that they are going to be exterminated at the first opportunity that they try to do anything to impact our citizens and our freedoms. That has to be our rhetoric. It also has to be our action and our principle.
So speaking of terrorism, you know I'm going to hit this because I try to ask you about it every time I get an update. Something as simple as protecting the grid and electrical infrastructure of the United States. Now, you've told us before that the House has put up several proposals, and the Senate was always shutting it down. You know, I think Newt Gingrich said it would take just a mere $5 billion to harden the grid a little bit here. And that's not just from terrorist attacks. It could be from a solar flare or anything else, in which millions of people will be affected and possibly die from that. Is there going to be any chance of moving that forward? Because I don't understand why a Democrat would not want to support this as well as a Republican. Are we ever going to get our grid hardened? I mean, for me, that is probably the most important and number one thing that needs to happen, like, right now to protect us.
Well, absolutely. We passed the EMP bill out of the House at least on a couple occasions already, and as I've told you before, it dies in the Senate. Or they attempt to put some strange amendment on in a kind of must-pass scenario that we just can't accept. Right now, for instance, the whole Zika issue is coming home to roost in the United States, with Florida now pushing back on taking blood donations because of the Zika virus that has hit Florida. The Senate Democrats right now are holding up the Zika bill that we passed in the House that has significant dollars in push back on that in a time we ought to be doing it. They've done the same with the mental health bill that we worked on now for the better part of 6-7 years, finally got it out of the House, bipartisan fashion, deals with mental health, deals with issues pertaining to people who have committed crimes, mental health, including those who've used weapons, guns, etc., wrongly, and yet they're trying to hold that up as well, to put more gun control language in that really won't work. We've seen that it hasn't worked in Chicago or New York or Los Angeles, or Washington, D.C., or Detroit. But they are using these things against their own people. And so when you talk about this danger of electromagnetic forces taking out our grid, again, I can't define why a Democrat wouldn't feel as worried about that as a Republican like me. But they're willing to hold it up.
Yeah, I mean, I look at Debbie Stabenow, Senator Stabenow, and Senator Peters, and would think, you know what? Your constituents are in danger. Why aren't you working with a Tim Walberg, a Mike Bishop to get this? I'm just astounded. Put everything else aside. Strip that bill down to a simple bit of money to secure the grid, and let's get one thing done. For crying out loud, secure the grid so millions of Americans don't die under a solar flare or an EMP attack from whoever. You know, be it Russia, China, Iran, or North Korea. You know, let's take care of the grid, for crying out loud. Don't put anything on it other than the money for that and that alone. I'm just astounded.
Well, any Democrats that are listening to you and independents that could lean either way, they need to understand that the Democrat Party of Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders is not the Democrat Party, even of Franklin Delano Roosevelt or John F. Kennedy. It is a different party. That philosophy, political tactics are all going toward simply securing the political edge and changing America from what it has been to what they consider best and they want it to be. And they are willing literally to hold off and put America at risk for their own political philosophical point of view. And that's not what we've seen in the old Democrat Party. Certainly I haven't seen in the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And that has to change. And I think, you know, as I tell people, the first vote that the Democrat candidate who's running against me will take will be a vote for Nancy Pelosi for Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
If you want that, and I can't believe that you would.
Yeah.
That's the only reason that you would vote for someone other than me. And that goes across the board, across the United States, in all of the races right now. It is a philosophical difference, two parallel universes that no longer have the same understanding of what the greatness of America is and what true liberty and freedom is. That's the only way I can describe it. And some of these people are awful nice people, but they just believe that European socialism, at the very least, will work better than American freedom, capitalism, and a Republican democracy.
Yeah. Tim, give me your website before the hard break here. What's a good way for people to contribute to your campaign?
Well, that's WalbergForCongress.com. WalbergForCongress.com. If you want to go to my official website to get issues relative to what's going on in Washington.
Okay.
That's the Wahlberg.House.gov.
Okay, great. Tim, thank you so much. Make sure you come on again.
People are always on the move, driving to work, getting the groceries, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Theronax, Glenn Beck, Laura Ingram, Jerry Doyle, and Dana Lash. They stay tuned in for Fox News updates, and they'll stick around for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Confirmation from the NTSB that there are a number of deaths in a hot air balloon accident in Texas. One resident saying there are hot, high power lines at the site of the crash in Lockhart, Texas.
I think the pops that I heard was the balloon connecting with the lines. And by the time I looked that way, it was already on the ground. And then the fireball went up.
The balloon reportedly carrying at least 16 people. A full NTSB GO team will arrive by tonight. Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine continuing their bus tour of the Rust Belt.
The Clinton campaign notes it will be campaigning on Republican turf when it visits Johnstown, Pennsylvania, later today, an area that Mitt Romney won with 58% support. They are targeting white working class voters, which Hillary Clinton has struggled with so far.
Fox's Mike Emanuel. Donald Trump promising to sharpen his barbs, telling supporters at a rally in Colorado yesterday. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Livingston Christian School is holding open houses for new families each Tuesday evening in August. Livingston Christian is the county's only Christian preschool through high school, providing Christian education for the entire family. It's located just south of Brighton with easy access off 23 at the Whitmore Lake exit. Attend one of the August open houses and meet teachers, administration, and families to see if Livingston Christian is the right school for your children. If you want your family to experience a Bible-based approach in a conservative educational setting where they teach love of country, Livingston Christian is for you. With class sizes of less than 20 students, each child receives the individual instruction needed for success. While rigorous academic achievement is expected, Livingston Christian focuses on the whole student, spiritual, physical, and academic. Attend one of the August open houses on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 or visit their website at livingstonchristianschools.org to learn more about Livingston Christian's on Common Core. Livingston Christian, now in Whitmore Lake, just south of Brighton.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of the Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And thanks for tuning into The Drift. Thanks for catching my drift, I guess, here. Let's take care of a little business. If you're looking for some new dental work or just want to change your dentist because you get kind of not feeling that you're being taken care of, try Sterner Family Dental in Whitmore Lake, 734-449-2081. That's 734-449-2081. Dr. Travis Sterner is a great dentist, a great guy. They've got a nice little office there. It's easy on, easy off at Barker Road in Whitmore Lake there, right off of US 23. You can go to sternerfamilydental.com, Sterner, S-T-E-R-N-E-R, familydental.com, right there in beautiful Whitmore Lake. So give them a check out. So it might be time for you to upgrade your dental work, I guess, shall we call it like that. Okay, so we are talking with Congressman Tim Wahlberg, and thank you very much, Tim, if you're still listening, for calling into the show. Love having you come in and give us some updates, and we'll try and do that a little more often for our listeners here. But let's talk a little bit about the Democratic convention. We kind of hashed out the Republican the last time around. I said it last half hour. It was the fantasy land. I think Linda used that same word on her show a little while back. It was a complete fantasy land. Every word that came out, I couldn't even watch. The final episode or final day of the convention, I just couldn't watch it. After watching Barack the night before, I lost an entire night's worth of sleep because I was so agitated and worked up about the complete lies that Barack continued to spew during his and you know doggone well he doesn't like Hillary Clinton. He doesn't really like the way that she does anything, and yet here he just spewed out whatever he needed to. Why? Because he knows she is going to be the best person to carry on his legacy of turning America into a third world country. And one of the things that watching Bill Clinton when he had his speech trying to talk about his wife, and if you want to talk about a guy who just did not give you the truth about him and his relationship with, yeah, number one, certainly he's not going to talk about Monica Lewinsky. You would never expect that. But for anyone to believe that she's a great human being, they have a great relationship, no, come on, it's not. It's a marriage of convenience at best. And what really struck me again was the hypocrisy that comes out of this, because here he tried to make her look like the change maker. They're going to change everything. Well, really, if you are going to be a change maker and change everything, are you not saying that everything that's happened in the last 7.5 years has been bad? Really? I mean, at one point they want to call Hillary Clinton the most experienced, the person who's been involved the longest. She's been in there for 30 years. Well, how are you going to get a change maker out of that when she's so much a part of the problem? And part of this conundrum is right here. So, Derek, do you have track one ready by chance? Okay, let's run this and listen to this.
The staff at the Democratic National Convention is very good at handing out props, but convincing voters that Hillary Clinton is a change maker could be a lot harder than handing out place cards. The most recent Wall Street Journal NBC poll asked respondents which of the following two descriptions of a candidate came closest to their preference. The first was, quote-unquote, someone who will bring major changes to the way the government operates, even if it is not possible to predict what the changes may be. The second was, someone who will bring a steady approach to the way the government operates, even if that means fewer changes to how things are now. A solid majority, 56% to 41%, favored change over steadiness. Other polls have had much of the same message. The problem is Clinton, facing the flamboyant and unpredictable Donald Trump, has sold herself as the very soul of steadiness.
Yeah, and there you go. That's what we just talked about last hour. Which Hillary are you voting for, people? Are you Bernie Sanders supporters out there? Really? Which of the Hillary candidates are you looking at? Which one are you going to vote for? Because she wants to play both sides of the coin. Let's take a call from Jimmy from Manchester, who wants to talk about some of the Bernie Sanders supporters. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, I spent some time out at the 4-H fair at the Farm Council grounds there in Saline this past week. My daughter's in 4-H, and we, you know, walked around, looked at all the good stuff, and one day I wore a Trump shirt. And I got some interesting looks from different people. And I had some of the younger kids, 18, 19-year-old kids that are in 4-H, come up to me and say, hey, you know, we voted for Bernie Sanders, and we think what happened at the DNC was wrong. We think Bernie got ripped off, blah, blah, blah. And we don't like what the Republicans were trying to do to Trump. You know, what's going on? You know, are these parties really worth looking at? And I said, well, you know, it's the only thing we've got. I said, you've got to fix it from within. You know, that's the only way you can do it. And what was interesting is that these people were quite intelligent. I mean, as far as for 18, 19-year-olds, they really kind of had a grasp of what some of the real problems were. Now, their solutions were ridiculous, you know, I told them, I kept telling them, I'm like, you're asking the people that broke it to fix it. You know, it's like if your kid breaks your chandelier, you're going to hire him to fix it every day?
Yeah. Hey, you know what they're not teaching, Jimmy, in today's educational system? They're not teaching limited resources. They're not teaching children that, you know what, you have a finite amount of money or resources that you can use to fix the problems you have. There's no critical thinking being taught to anybody in schools nowadays. You cannot have everything. You can't have more education. You can't have more health care. Somebody has to pay for that, and the only way to do that is to increase production and increase the number of people that you could tax. You can't tax a single person more, because you know what? That just takes all the drive out of it. You have to increase the number of taxpayers. And the only way to do that is to get more jobs. And that requires more business. But they're not teaching that in schools nowadays. And that's why you're getting these crazy ideas from these young kids who have no idea what critical thinking or limited resources means.
Well, to be fair to these kids that I'm talking to, remember, these kids are in 4-H. They grew up on farms. So there's a little bit of difference there. They kind of understand competition, and they really do realize. And what the problem is that they don't see regulation as bad. When I was able to have a discussion with them and actually explain to them, look, you got a mom and pop farm organization that's breaking some rule, the EPA rule. They don't even know they're doing it, but they're breaking it. And the EPA steps in, charges them $1 million fine, and they're out of business because even if they sell everything, they don't have $1 million. And so then you go to Monsanto, and they're doing twice what this little company was doing. And the fines $1 million, well, by dumping all of that stuff, they made $30-40 million. So what do they care about giving $1 million to make 29 or 39 million? What do they care?
Right.
It's the selective enforcement of these rules and the way that regulation works. They pick on the mom and pops. They don't pick on the large companies. They're really the problem. And the large companies have the money to get in and pay. I'm not, no offense to Tim Walberg. I don't think you do this, Tim. I don't think you do this at all. But you have had these people come up to you, I know you have, and offer you, what about this? And you vote this way. You know, and I know he's had that happen. I'm not saying he does it. I don't think he does. Actually, I think Tim is.
No, that happens to anyone running for office. Because you remember, Jimmy, when I ran for state senate, I immediately began getting contacts and calls and letters from every special interest you can imagine. And you wanted to get a donation for your campaign, they wanted you to jump on right there and answer their questionnaires the way they expected to, or you got nothing. Now, of course, I was just honest with them and gave my answers the way I wanted to. And you know what? I never got a dime from anybody.
Not
one. I had no special interest money when I ran for state senate. Why? Because I was honest. I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to do that for you. What are you, out of your mind? I'd completely disagree with you on that. But I think, so what you're saying is, at least these kids that are, and I don't know that these kids are average, because if you're raised on a farm, you're going to be probably a pretty smart for critical thinking skills anyway.
Yeah, these kids are bright. They're also voting for Trump. Yeah. It's going to be their first election. They're actually going to vote for Trump because...
So they're seeing the corruptness. They're seeing the corruptness on both sides, because that's what it is. It's no longer the Republicans and the Democrats. It's the Republicrats or the Democrats. You know what I mean? They're all the one. It's all those guys that are establishment yoo-hoos in there taking America for a ride, and that's what they're doing. The special interests and the lobbyists on K Street and Wall Street are just controlling Washington D.C. And so those of us who are not wealthy enough to have a lobbyist are losing out. I mean, we're just being taken advantage of. That's where that crony capitalism comes in.
Exactly, and no offense to our Italian friends out there, but instead of calling them the Republicrats and Democrats, how about just calling them the Cerveses and the Gambinos? I mean, it's the mob.
Yeah, it's the Washington mob. Yeah.
They took what the mob did back in the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and they just basically became that and suppressed the other, because they were like, oh, well, they spend all their time buying us. We already own it. Oh, let's just do that then, you know? Yeah. We'll just beat them out.
Just amazing. Just amazing. Well, Jimmy, I want to thank you for all the work you've done. I heard you taught me something earlier on Linda's show when I heard you say, when you don't not fill in a blank, make sure you go down, write in, abstain, and mark that. I'd never thought about that before, and now it makes sense to me because you're exactly right. Somebody can fill that in. If there's a recount, right, or if they're going to do something else, they can just fill it in, and you'll never know. How would you know? You've already turned
in
your ballot.
How would you know?
Yeah.
How would you know? Because they don't know whose ballot it is anyway.
Yeah.
They're standing there counting these ballots, and they're like, whoa, there's a bunch of undervotes right here, and we want this guy to be the regent here at U of M, so we'll just, you know, vote for him on every one of these undervotes.
Yeah, you know what I've done on some of those? When there's a question for me, and I'm right or wrong, this is what I did. When I wasn't sure, voting for a regent or some smaller position that really didn't affect me, I kind of went Libertarian Party just because I'm like, well, he's Libertarian. He's going to be smaller government. He's not going to screw me, hopefully. And so that's where I would throw my vote to the Libertarians on those issues that I didn't know. When in doubt, I went Libertarian, right? I was right or wrong, that's what I did.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You know, I'm voting for Rob Steele, and that's the only region I'm going to vote for. So I'm going to have to abstain
on the other
the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know, and make sure that you do that because what you're doing is you are not opening it up to fraud down the road.
Yeah.
And you are also stopping someone from challenging your ballot for being an undervote, because they can do that if they see it.
Okay.
You're actually going to save your township money if that ballot, if there's somebody at the end that doesn't, you know, challenge that. You know, it lets those ladies get home at a decent hour.
Right. All right, well, that's good stuff, Jimmy. I thank you so much and appreciate all the work you do as a delegate and everything else. So thank you so much, and give us a holler.
I'm on my way out the door to do some more.
Yeah.
Pounding the pavement for some people here in Manchester.
Okay,
so.
Great. Well, thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
All right, take care. Let's take a call from Walter in Belleville. Walter, how are you?
Hey, my man. Hey, I'd like to make a comment. Something that slipped my mind when I was talking to Theron earlier during the week. I know the Democrats, as you already know, they come up with every propaganda lie you can think of. You know, the tactics of Hitler and all the other dictators.
Yep.
With continuous lies upon lies, lies plus lies equal lies, as we know. And you noticed on the first night of that I would call the devil's...
Convention,
you know, devil seance convention, all four nights. That's exactly what it is. It was birthed out of the pits of hell, by the way. Anyway, they put I noticed they got a new liar they added to the list. And I hope people don't take me wrong or yourself. And I don't put down a certain person because of physical inabilities. Hope you know where I'm going with this. But I noticed they put a handicapped liar up there. The girl, you remember the girl that was in the, now I'm not talking about a handicap. I do not put down people's handicaps. But they will use everything they can to further Satan's cause through their Democratic Party.
They tried to.
That was in the wheelchair. So I think she was cerebral palsy. She gave a little speech.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, though, Walter, when you compared it to the Republican convention, I think the diversity of speakers at the Republican convention was as good, if not better, than anything I saw at the Democratic convention. We had the amazing girl that opened the Republican convention with the national anthem was a blind girl that had cerebral palsy, and she rocked it. Her voice was something phenomenal. She ought to be on one of those singing shows that are so popular now. She was really good. I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but she was awesome. We had Sheriff Clark at the Republican convention. So we had the whole nine yards when it comes to diversity at the Republican convention. When you looked at the two of them, I think they were just as diverse on either side, you know.
Like I said, that is so true. And the difference is one handicapped person was a liar, the other one was telling the truth. And that's not, and like I said, I don't put down the handicap, but I'm talking in principle.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. There's one bit of diversity you did not see at the Democratic convention. There was no police. There was no cops. They even barred uniformed officers from being on the convention floor. Who does that? Every police officer and police union worker in the country should be so enraged right now with the Democratic Party. That was an absolute disgrace. Those poor officers working out there, working their butts off at Cleveland and Philadelphia to control the mobs. And let's face it, the Democratic convention was way worse than the Republican convention. That was just amazing. And those poor officers got not one ounce of respect from the Democrats at the Democratic convention. Not one.
You are so right. And they snuck in the flags, by the way, because so many complaints went out.
Yeah, yeah.
Those people are despicable. And guess what? The murder that they continue to, the murder they continue to promote by killing babies, and that person that they put up there, is, well, let's say in the Republican convention, you mentioned a handicapped girl, and the Democratic convention, they just use her. Because that same person, they would have had her killed at birth.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, Walter. You're right. You're right. Because you know what? We talk about the 60 million abortions that have happened since Way versus Road, right? And yeah. I'm thinking if someone call in and correct me if you want. I want to say it was 70% or 60 to 70% of all the babies that are aborted via Planned Parenthood and whatever other abortion clinics are available here in the United States were African-American fetuses that were aborted. So you want to talk about diversity, you have wiped out 60, that's genocide, Walter. They've wiped out 60, whatever the percentage is, 40 million African-American babies have been wiped out by abortion.
And that Tim Kaine, you're so right, and that Tim Kaine is just as hideous. He's just a more nicer version of Satan.
You know who he looked like? Even this morning I saw him. You know who he looked like? He looks like that actor Jack in, what was that movie, Derek, Jack Nicholson, when he was in the movie Up in the Mountains. Gosh, I can't remember. You know what, Crazy Jack. John here. You know what I mean? That one.
The Shining?
The Shining. He's got that crazy eyebrow that flips up, and I'm looking at it and go, God, he looks like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Yeah, Tim Kaine, you know what? You want to talk about two, and let's talk one other thing about Tim Kaine while I'm here, right? Bob McDonald, Republican governor, ex-governor of Virginia, went to jail, I think, did a little time for taking gifts, what they consider bribes. And Tim Kaine took $165,000 in gifts and did no time. So what makes him any different? He's just as corrupt as any other establishment punk there in Washington, D.C. He's an establishing guy. He's not going to do anything. He's going to keep things the same. They're going to keep that status quo because that's how they make their money. Now, let me talk about this, too, Walter. You can stay on the line with me. Have you seen Clinton Cash yet? The movie Clinton Cash? Yes.
No.
All right. So do me a favor. Go to the Daily Drift website. It's right at the top of the page. It's a YouTube, right? It's a link to YouTube right there. It's an hour and 15 minutes. It's not a really long movie. I can tell you this. If you want to make a difference this election, tell people to watch three movies. The first is 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. Because if you watch that, they don't point the finger at anyone in particular. But you get the feeling and you get the drift that the federal government, Barack Obama, the State Department, Hillary Clinton, did nothing to save Ambassador Stevens. Nothing. You will be so disgusted by the end of that movie with the federal government, the way it sits under the current administration, you will be sick to your stomach. The second movie, Clinton Cash. You cannot walk away after watching Clinton Cash and ever look at her and Bill again and say, what the heck have we been doing supporting these people? It's just absolutely amazing. And the third one, obviously, is going to be Hillary's America by Dinesh D'Souza that I plan on watching either this week or the beginning of next week, this weekend or the beginning of next week. But because you know what? This is a quick and easy way to tell those independents, you're not going to affect the Democrat. Get those independents, say, just watch us. It'll take an hour and 15 minutes, and it will blow people away. It really will. So it's right at the Daily Drift. You just go there. It's right at the top. It'll click it. It'll take you right to YouTube, and you can watch Clinton Cash. And because Breitbart's doing it for free, it's on YouTube for free. Watch it. Spread it around. Get that link and email it to as many people as you can, because this will take Hillary Clinton down. It is a Clinton crime syndicate. It really is. They are no better than the mafia. And they touched on it in one of the earlier shows today about Haiti. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, man, I'm planning on doing all that. I'm doing my part almost every day. I'm informing people on my truck routes, every culture, every race. And I guarantee you, I'd say 90% of the people that I talked to are against the Democrats and Clinton.
Yeah. Well,
and they're calling her a liar, and I tell you what, let me say this before I get off. You notice with the Democratic Party that they have reduced humans to worse than animals, and they have uplifted animals greater than humans.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, isn't it? Absolutely crazy. All right, well, listen to this. I'm going to take a clip out of Clinton Clash right now. It's just a little two-minute blurb here, and this is going to tell you about Hillary Clinton. Derek, you got track three ready? Let's go ahead and play that. Thanks, Walter.
The Kremlin sees dominance and control of the uranium market as a source of national power. Frank Giustra takes that uranium concession he got in Kazakhstan and puts it into a company in a so-called reverse merger, which was one way for a private company to go public to form something called Uranium One. It's a company traded on the stock market in Canada, and they start acquiring uranium concessions in places like Wyoming, Texas, New Mexico, and Utah. And by 2009, they have what is expected to be 50% of future uranium production in the United States. This gets the interest of Vladimir Putin and the Russian government. And in fact, there are State Department cables that were leaked through WikiLeaks, which show that Hillary was aware of the fact that the Russians took great care to try to dominate the international uranium market. Well, the Russians want to buy this asset, and they offer a 40% overprice on the share of the stock. And for this transaction to go through, it has to be approved by the U.S. federal government. Why? Because uranium is regarded as a critical industry in the United States. After all, this is used for our civilian nuclear reactors and goes into nuclear weapons. So it goes before the federal government, where it needs to be signed off by a series of federal agencies, including the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. As Hillary Clinton is contemplating this, shareholders in Uranium One, including Frank Giustra, have sent more than $145 million to the Clinton Foundation. The chairman of that company at the precise time is a guy named Ian Telfer, who is also making donations to the Clinton Foundation, as is Frank Holmes, who is another major Uranium One shareholder. And Hillary Clinton, who has a record of opposing precisely these kinds of deals, comes out and says, you know what? I think this is a good deal. Let's let Vladimir Putin take control of what is now 20% of U.S. uranium production.
Okay, and the crazy thing, Derek, is she's looking at Putin and saying he's a friend of Trump, he's the one that released the DNC emails, blah, 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 and she's taking money. The Clinton Foundation is taking money based on the decisions that she makes as Secretary of State. She should be in jail. If this is not conflict of interest, I don't know what is. At what point does the corruption in the federal government, why is the FBI not looking at this? At what point do we say it is so corrupt? It is so out of control that somebody should go to jail, and it's not happening. You know, you watched how the DNC emails came out, and they wanted to blame it on somebody else instead of showing what's in it and taking responsibility for it. Folks, that's what you got to watch. Go watch the Clinton Cash movie. It's right at the top of the webpage, thedailydrift.com. Go check it out. Until next week, go to thedailydrift.com, educate yourself, and spread that around. Take care, and we'll see you next week.